Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our returning to weekly, vigorous, relentless, and definitely ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very Well Armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin, and it's my pleasure to talk to the most informed gun owners in the state of Wisconsin, and elsewhere. That would be you. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry. The exiled president of Wisconsin Carry, exiled from the liberal bastion of fascist book, and encourage you to be a part of the show with your comments, your calls. Now I have to memorize a new phone number here because, let me give you the phone number first. It's 563-999-3787. Again, 563-999-3787. Is the line for the Well-Armed Studio here. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And, this was a tradition on Well-Armed Radio. The first 50 minutes of the show was open line. That was your chance to call with anything you'd like to discuss. And just for the simple fact that I've been off the air for, 3 weeks now, maybe a little bit more, almost a month. We'll take it all night. So anyone who wants to call in, you call in, we'll talk. We'll do it from there. But most importantly, I do appreciate you guys tuning in. It's great to have a chance to reconnect with people. Let's just get into it. Now Hugh's waving at me. So I have to reintroduce my producer, Hugh, who's on the other side of the glass partition here in the Well-Armed studio. Hugh had a break while we were doing Facebook Live. All right, so let's recap. Here we are. It's November 29th. I also made the mistake of coming back live to my live broadcast on a night when the professional football team from Green Bay, Wisconsin is on. So I don't know if that will or won't affect my opportunity for live listeners here. You know, it's frustrating because, so just to recap here, I've been doing this show, Well Armed Radio, start before that. I'm the founder of Wisconsin Carry. I co-founded Wisconsin Carry with a couple other gentlemen, Hubert Hoffman and Oric Gold, back in late 2009. Organization has grown. We grew that organization to thousands and thousands of members. We don't release exact member numbers. And there was different classifications of members. We had dues paying members, people that paid the $15 to join, then paid the $10 or more, whatever they wanted to renew their membership every year. Then we had Facebook members. The Facebook group had grown to 12,500 people. We're going to talk about that here on the show. And then we also, so those are really the two classes of membership. We had dues paying members and then Facebook members. But it had grown to be a very successful organization. I mean, gosh, we've filed dozens of lawsuits, won almost all of them. Some of the lawsuits we didn't actually lose, but we lost standing. For example, our first lawsuit, which was suing the state of Wisconsin's gun-free school zone statute. But that one we lost because when Wisconsin passed concealed carry, then we lost our standing there I don't want to get into the weeds in that one, but we can talk about that some other time if someone's interested. But anyway, Wisconsin Carry, we grew this huge presence. And then on Facebook, I started Well Armed Radio back in 2013. And I started Well Armed Radio because I didn't think that the Milwaukee Talk Radio, which at the time would have been conservative talk radio, which at the time would have been 620 WTMJ and the big one, 1130 WISN, 620 WTMJ has since gone away from conservative talk. So that leaves WISN as the only conservative talk show in not in Wisconsin, because there's other markets, but in the southeast part of the state, that's the only conservative news talk station. That'd be News Talk 1130 WISN. But I thought that while they did a good job on all kinds of things, while they did a good job on things like what tax policy, your standard run-of-the-mill conservative topics, your standard run-of-the-mill Republican platform topics. Again, there's a distinction there because conservative and Republican aren't necessarily the same thing. I consider myself a conservative, constitutional conservative, who happens to vote Republican almost all the time. I don't vote for Democrats, but I have in the past voted for libertarians, but I've learned my lesson from there. But anyway, so I just didn't think the talk radio did a very good job with the gun topic. And so for that reason, I started Well Armed Radio. 2012 is when I started thinking about it, which is right around the time of Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook was, a very impactful event in the Second Amendment movement, in the gun movement. Shouldn't have been a crime issue like crime issues are, but liberals never let a good crisis go to waste, and they tried to turn that into a momentum shift, a lever to pass concealed carry, or excuse me, pass concealed carry, to a lever to pass gun control, using Sandy Hook as justification. So that's when I started thinking about doing the show. It took a while for me to plan and organize it, figure out how I was going to do it. And so then it ended up being the spring of 2013 when I finally started Well Armed Radio, which I think was a couple months later than I really thought the big, important issues were. I think by the time I had started Well Armed Radio, they had already defeated the assault weapons ban, or whatever it was called, Manchin Toomey, a bill that was going to pass all kinds of regulations, gun control, back in 2013, I think. But the reason I started Well Armed Radio as a separate program from Wisconsin Carry was that, I wanted to delve into issues outside of just the gun issue. I didn't want to be just doing gun topics. I wanted to do topics on everything from healthcare, capitalism, freedom. I mean, you name it. So that's why I created Well Armed Radio as a separate entity. And then I also, just to be honest, because I'm an honest guy, I anticipated I was going to monetize it. When I first started Well Armed Radio, I was working for another company in Milwaukee. My background is corporate sales. I was the director of client services for a large consulting firm. I mean, very large would make you think, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees, like Arthur Anderson. See, now I'm going to date myself. I don't even think it's Arthur Anderson anymore, but the Big Six. I mean, those are large consulting firms. The firm I worked for are very large. The firm I worked for was large, but worked for a large consulting firm, making a ton of money, wasn't happy there, wasn't sure what my next move might be. And so I started a couple of different ventures. Well Armed Radio was one of them. What ended up happening is I ended up leaving that company downtown and starting my own consulting firm, competing against them. And once I did that, it was so successful that the thought to monetize Well Armed Radio really wasn't, it wouldn't have been a good investment of my time. I mean, if I'd have been chasing sponsorships and I had some paid sponsorships for a while of the show, but I didn't think it was necessary. The small amounts that I got for the sponsorships weren't worth my time to chase them. So I really stopped pursuing it. And if something came my way, I would, but I mean, if you're not out there chasing sponsorships, you're probably not going to get them. But yeah, so that was the nexus of Well Armed Radio. So we've been broadcasting for 13 years. Well Armed Radio was on Facebook, had a page there with a couple thousand followers, hundreds of thousands of page views and likes and shares and all those things. And then, so here's what happened is on election night, November, whatever that was, second or third, I'm at the gym. I leave the gym, come home, go to use Facebook, was logged off. I thought that's odd. Went to log back in, and it just occurred to me really, really quickly that, I must have been, Facebook must have disabled my account. So I wasn't sure what that meant. I've had for years, and I actually felt inferior. I actually felt lax. Because I have friends who'd been in Facebook jail for any number of things, you know, 10 days, 30 days, you'd see a post from a friend, hey, just fresh out of Facebook jail, and for something that they had posted. And I hadn't been in Facebook jail for a day, never even gotten a warning. So I wasn't worried about anything. So I hadn't backed up my personal files, my pictures, my videos. None of that stuff. And all of a sudden, here I am logged out, and then go to log in. It says your account's disabled. There was something to click on to appeal it, to do that, because it's with all these big tech apps. I mean, there's no customer service people. It's just you talking to yourself talking to a computer into an automated system. So talking with that automated or interacting with that automated system, you request this appeal. You put your username in and then a picture, an actual physical picture of your driver's license, of your state ID. So I did that. And then as soon as I hit submit, it says your account's disabled. This is permanent and irreversible. So there it was, just in that moment, logged out of Facebook, booted out of Facebook, fascist book, as I call it. And with no warning, no reason. So the first thought through my head was that, man, I'm going to have a lot of free time now because I spend a lot of time on Facebook as do a lot of people. But then, after that, my next thought came to, holy shit, how am I going to, I wondered, Brent, a friend of mine said he was able to post, and tag the group page still being censored by fascist book. So what I'm getting at here is I'm wondering if anybody's even listening right now. This show used to get a few hundred live, maybe a good show was 200, 300 live listeners, and then 2,500 listeners to the podcast. It goes to podcast immediately afterwards. I'm sitting here tonight as I'm talking to the microphone here and looking at the chat on the Well Armed Radio chat, and there's nobody in the chat. So just sitting here wondering, if there's anybody on. So that's why I was glancing at MeWe. So let me finish the story here. So right away I was like, okay, how am I going to run Wisconsin Carry without the Facebook group? Because we had gotten away from, we used to have the list service for email. We'd gotten away from using that. We just were using Facebook for all of our communication because it was so easy and so convenient. Not to mention there was so many people that Wisconsin Carry, that came to know Wisconsin Carry through Facebook. And that's the irony here, is that Facebook used to result in hundreds of people joining Wisconsin Carry every single week. And that was all because Facebook would suggest the group. Facebook suggests the group. And originally Facebook would suggest groups because it wanted to get people to engage with Facebook. The more that they engage with Facebook, the more that they would use it. Okay, here. So Brent is listening. So I've got one person to talk to at least tonight. So Brent, me and you. Now, if anybody else is listening, click into the chat here and let me know. It's going to take time to build this back up. I've been off for three. Well, I hadn't been using Blog Talk for months because what I had done is switched to Facebook Live. So I get booted off Wisconsin Carry or booted off Fascist Book. What happened, I think, at the same time, and so here's to the best I can figure out. I have no idea ultimately why they kicked me off. Well, I shouldn't say I have no idea. They gave me no reason or warning why I was removed from the Facebook platform. Never been warned before, never been censored before, never anything. So the two things I can think of is that it was either for posting things that were supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse. That might be one of the reasons. The other thing, but other people that I'd seen posting stuff supportive of Kyle Rittenhouse, they got the Facebook jail. They didn't get disabled. So the second thing I thought was that maybe the combination of having a group, Wisconsin Carry, and advocating for Kyle Rittenhouse, maybe that is what got me booted off, because Wisconsin Carry didn't get removed. So the other thing I wondered is if it was something that was on Well-Armed Radio. Now, the day of on election day, the only thing I can think of is that day I posted a post on Well-Armed Radio that had said, four more years of liberal tears. Okay, so here we got Kevin is in. Where's my phone here? I thought I had a message here. I'm looking for my, where the hell is it? Someone just said, no, someone texted me. Hang on here. Looking at my phone. All right, so Kevin is listening as well. So that makes two. So Brent from, I think Brent's from the La Crosse area, and my friend Kevin. So, all right, so we got two. And here we go. Now we've got, now I'm feeling the love. Lon from Wausau has clicked into the chat here. Lon's a longtime listener. All right, we're getting the gang back together. This is exciting. So I don't know why I was booted off of Facebook. Maybe it was something that was on Well-Armed Radio. Maybe it was something that from Kyle Rittenhouse supported things. Maybe it was, but again, not even getting a warning or Facebook jail. There was one other thing that I wondered, and years ago, I'm talking like 2012, I had put something, I had started a Facebook group called the Wisconsin Minutemen. And it wasn't like a revolutionary militia group, but it was just where a bunch of motivated individuals in Wisconsin who were ready to answer the calling at a moment's notice for freedom. And by that, I meant pick up the phone and call a legislator. I mean, there was nothing militia-ish about it. I did have a picture of a colonial era Minutemen. And so nobody ever joined the group. I never even promoted the group. So I don't know if that was what might have triggered Facebook, if they saw that. If obviously something triggered Facebook, triggered a live human at Facebook to take a look at my Facebook presence. And in doing so, they determined that I couldn't be a part of their platform anymore. I'm friends with someone who's very good friends with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. That election night, I texted my friend and said, hey, I'm booted off of Facebook. If you need to catch me by text. This person was super pissed at the censorship. Again, being good friends with Senator Johnson, she sent Senator Johnson an email and copied me, and she said, hey, Ron, This guy is the president of the most effective gun group in Wisconsin. Just got booted off Facebook. No reason or warning given. Can you look into it? So Senator Johnson said, replied right away, said, sure, I'll have my staff look into it. The next day I got a call. That was at night, evening. The next day I got a call from, email from one of Senator Johnson's staffers who said that they had reached out to Facebook and Facebook had said that they wanted to know my username and the phone number associated with the account because that's how they would reference my specific account. He got that from me, went back to Facebook, and I heard back a couple days later. He said Facebook refused to give them any information about why my account was disabled, only would say that I had violated their, quote, community standards. Somehow I violated the community standards of Facebook, which probably telling the truth, that that's probably violation of community standards for Facebook. But so there's nothing he could do. So that was it. I mean, I had 12 years of family pictures and photos on there that I didn't have backed up anywhere, lost all that. Not to mention every post I ever made, well-armed radio, gone. Wisconsin Carry was still there. There was other admins of that group, so that was still there. But here's the other thing is I suspect, and I haven't been in, other people are like, hey, Nick, you know, you should get a rejoin Facebook under another name, under an alias, create another account. But here's the thing, and I said this, that like Facebook has such amazing tools. Yeah, I forgot to put a cap on another comment I was making. Facebook refused to share any for privacy reasons. For privacy reasons, Facebook refused to share any information about why my account was deleted. And I thought, that's pretty goddamn ironic that Facebook, for privacy reasons, wouldn't share information about me with me when Facebook has made billions of dollars over the course of the last 15 years selling people's private information to third parties. But yet, I want to find out why I was booted off Facebook, and that's a privacy issue. They couldn't share that. So, I mean, it's bullshit. It is what it is. I don't do well in environments where people can control me. So even if I was to try to get back on Facebook with create another account, it's just not my thing. I just don't do well in a situation where other people have control over me, where I can't be free to be me, to say what I want to say, do what I want to do. Because I'm a responsible guy. I'm a conscientious person. I don't lie. I don't bullshit. So to not be able to, to be me, that doesn't work for me. So even if I was able to, I don't think I'd be able to create an account back on Facebook. Here's the reason why. Because again, the information at Facebook, I'm going to watch the movie, The Social Dilemma. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's really good. But we all know, and have some of us have read, the amount of information that Facebook has on you is unbelievable. But in terms of keeping you off their platform, look, if you've got, every computer has an IP address, and yeah, I know there's ways to spoof your IP address. Every computer has an IP address. Every phone has an IMEI number. That's an International Electronic Mobile, or is it IEMI? It's either International Mobile Electronic Identification or International Mobile Electronic Identification. It's either IMEI or I should Google it, right? Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so they'd be able to hang on one sec here. I'm Googling. Yeah, IMEI, International Mobile Equipment Identity. That's it. IMEI stands for International Mobile Equipment Identity. International Mobile Equipment Identity. So Facebook would be able to pair up. They would have been tracking over the 12 years that I was using Facebook because I joined in 2008. They would have been tracking the computers that I used to access Facebook and the phone that I used to access Facebook. And those two things, they would have the IP address for my computer, the IMEI number for my phone. And through that, they'd be able to identify that it was me if I was to create another account. Because I could create another account with a different name or an alias or something. But all that would do, I think, was just, I think in short order, they'd be able to identify that as me. I've had other people that said they tried to pick up to try to create another account, and Facebook did let them create an account, but the account they couldn't post anything with and things like that. So, I don't know if what the results would be if I tried to create another Facebook account, but why would I want to? You know, Facebook has definitely become, fascist book has definitely become a useless tool for anybody. Look, if you want to share pictures of your food, you want to share selfies with your dog, Facebook's going to be there for you forever. But for anybody who wanted to really interact, if you want to share, and think about people who were never political, didn't care about politics, but all of a sudden, coronanoia hits you in the face. And then you start talking about politics, not because you wanted to be political in your conversations, but you had no choice. All of a sudden, you know, your business was being shut down, and you know, people that may have not really been political people for their whole lives, all of a sudden they realize that they're injected into the middle of a political situation with coronavirus and all the draconian dictatorship-like edicts coming from governors and others. So Facebook has zero utility for anybody on the conservative side of the aisle in terms of political activism, in terms of sharing information. It's massively censored, massively manipulated. Right after the election, this was even acknowledged and reported in the mainstream networks. Facebook changed their algorithm. And what an algorithm is just a set of instructions that the computer runs. To oversimplify, but an algorithm is a formula of how to interpret something or how to react to things. Facebook's algorithm would decide what you see on your news feed. It would originally decide that based upon things that you went to look at. If you went to look at a certain friend's page frequently, Facebook would adjust its algorithm to say, okay, this person likes to see this person's page. And they would put that stuff higher in your news feed. If you visited a group frequently, Facebook would say, okay, Facebook's algorithm would figure out, okay, this person really likes the Wisconsin Carry group. I'm going to put posts from Wisconsin Carry into their news. Because most people only scroll. I mean, Facebook has all this data too. How far down do you scroll on your own Facebook news feed? Do you scroll down 15 posts? Do you scroll down? What's the average? And it's different for everybody. I mean, some people might sit there and scroll through 100 posts on Facebook in a day. Other people might go to Facebook, see the first two or three posts on their news feed, and that's all they view. But Facebook knows all that. So again, Facebook would, when it wasn't trying to politically manipulate, they would use their algorithms to give you content that was applicable to you so that you would keep using Facebook. Every time you log on, the things that showed up in your newsfeed were interesting to you. They made sure that they were interesting by using your own information that you had shared, your own actions on Facebook that you had developed over the course of however many months and years you've been using Facebook. But then here's where the manipulation comes in, is after the election, this was documented, Facebook changed their algorithm to any story, any link, because Facebook, through automated processes, through the computer scanning them, anything that Facebook read as a link, you know, you post a link. You go to foxnews.com, you post a link, the URL is foxnews.com/politics/coronavirus vaccine story. You post that link, Facebook is, their computers are reading and saying, okay, this is a link from Fox News. Facebook was, their algorithm was taking anything that was posted, any links from CNN, NPR, and I think a couple others, I forget which ones, but they were taking those links and they were moving them up in the rankings. They were moving them up in people's viewership. So anybody who posted something from CNN, NPR, or I think it was the New York Times as well, that would be almost assuredly shown in people's news feeds. One of your friends posts a link from CNN, boom, Facebook's algorithm makes sure that that gets top placement and you open up Facebook get up in the morning, open up Facebook, boom. They're going to make sure that link from CNN or the link from the New York Times, they're going to make sure that was in your newsfeed. On the other hand, something that was perhaps from Fox News or something from Newsmax, those would be scuttled. Those would be moved down. You'd still think you posted it. You still think, you know, you post something, you still think it's out there, but it wouldn't be seen by, you know, if you got 400, 500 friends, maybe only 10 of them would see it. Facebook would make sure that only a few people saw it, or maybe nobody would see it. Maybe the only people that would see it were people that went to your page and scrolled down and saw, oh, you posted this. So you think it's there, because if you go to your profile page, you see it there. But if you were to try to, it doesn't get automatically populated into other people's news feeds. And so what happens then is that's what's called shadow banning. This used to happen to me. It used to be I'd post something on the Well Armed Radio Facebook page and it would go viral. And within 2 days, there'd be 20,000 views, 1,500 shares. I mean, over the years, I posted various things. They'd go nationwide. I mean, probably the most viral thing I ever posted is I'd posted some things that were, and I forget what they were, some memes or something, and they would get, the most was probably maybe about 250,000 views, along with 250,000 views, along with, and to get those, you know, shared by 15,000, 20,000 people, something like that. Then recently I would post things and I think to myself, oh, this is going to go viral. But it wouldn't. And so I would kind of say, oh, I guess people weren't interested in that. But what was really happening was Facebook was shadow banning my posts. My posts weren't getting shown up in people's news feeds that where they otherwise used to be. So if someone doesn't see it, unless they go to the Wisconsin Carry Facebook page, which very few people do, most people just go to their their news feed. So unless people go to the Well Armed Radio page, they wouldn't see it. And then other times when people share things, that was another way that Facebook shadow banning works. If people share something from the Well Armed Radio page, once they share to their page, then Facebook would say, don't show it to their friends. So I post something and maybe some of my friends see it, or some of the Well Armed Radio page, quote, fans see it. But if they were to turn around and share something, Facebook, they'd think they shared it. It shows up in their news feed. But in reality, Facebook didn't show it in any of their friends' news feeds. That's how Facebook shadow bans things. So I think that was, I know that was, well, I can't say I know. I'm very, very confident that was happening with Well Armed Radio. And I suspect it's happening with Wisconsin Carry as well. So here's the problem with Wisconsin Carry. With Wisconsin Carry, if I used to post something, and here's some that would get like quick posts or a lot of views quickly. The Wisconsin Carry wins a lawsuit or files a lawsuit. If I would post that on the Wisconsin Carry Facebook page, 200-300 within the matter of an hour, 200 or 300 likes. It would spread very quickly. But I have a feeling, I haven't been on Facebook since I got booted. I did ask my fiance a couple times to look and see what was happening. But some things that would be posted, I think unless people went to the Wisconsin Carry Facebook group, they wouldn't see them. Our vice president, Oric, I think he had posted some links to the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page. And I saw this coming from a long time, you know, before. I saw what Facebook was doing to other people, and I thought that it was only a matter of time until the Wisconsin Carry group would be in jeopardy on Facebook. So I had already established a MeWe page, and I was working hard to get that MeWe page populated to get people to create an alternative presence. Look, I'm not naive. I know that people aren't going to ditch Facebook for MeWe cold turkey, although a couple people have. But what I figured was that people would be interested enough, motivated enough to establish a MeWe presence because they'd see the writing on the wall too, that it was only a matter of time until Facebook clamps down so hard that the Wisconsin Carry group is eliminated off of Facebook. And so I think instead of eliminating the group, they've just gone to shadow banning it, and that's been their their tactic, because they don't want to appear as overtly biased as they certainly are. So we've gotten, I don't know, maybe 7 out of the 12,500 Facebook members, and I'm well aware that those 12,500 Facebook members for Wisconsin Carry, many of those were not frequent page visitors, but I would suspect that there was probably a good 3,000 or 4,000 people of that 12,500 that were at least to the group a couple times a week. How they went there, was it from or would see the group posts in their feed? And I just think now that number has been significantly reduced. That the I feel like I'm certain the shadow banning is taking place with I'm certain the shadow banning is taking place with the Wisconsin Carry group, like it did with the Facebook group, for all those reasons that I previously stated. Facebook has decided that that's not content that's helpful to their liberal push, and so they're going to make sure that they diminish it. So again, frustrating place to be. How do we get people to move over to MeWe? Again, we're not asking people to ditch Facebook, but just establish a presence on MeWe, so that when it, and I'm just kind of surprised. I mean, that the more people haven't, I'm frustrated that more people haven't. So, you know, I've said for years that I thought, well, not for years, I've said for many months that Facebook should, I think Facebook should face antitrust actions as a monopoly. You know, we broke up the Baby Bells in the 1980s because they were getting too powerful. There was no competition. I don't believe there's any competition for Facebook. As soon as someone starts getting popular, Facebook buys them up, and that's classic monopolistic behavior. As soon as Instagram surpassed Facebook as the most used social media platform, and then what does Facebook do? Facebook buys them. Facebook purchases Instagram. So that's monopolistic behavior. MeWe is growing. MeWe has become the most downloaded app. And I don't know if it is still as of today, but I know as of like a week or two ago, after the election, MeWe started trending and going, not going viral, but many, many people were switching over to MeWe just because they saw the egregious censorship of fascist book, of Facebook. And so what happens if MeWe gets bigger? Does Facebook buy them out? Does someone make an offer to, because the people that's founded MeWe, for certain, they intended to cash out at some point. This isn't an exercise in altruism here, the founders of MeWe. There's no doubt that for a certain price, they'd sell out. And to who? To someone that shares. I mean, just Fox News made its presence. Fox News made its success hinged upon the fact that it was a conservative leaning news outlet. Not, and I wouldn't even call it conservative bias, but it was conservative leaning. It was a conservative leaning news outlet. And so that's what made Fox News. If Fox News had come into play and just been just like ABC, just like CNN, just like NBC, there would have been, they wouldn't have been successful. The fact that they were a conservative alternative made them successful. Now, herein is the problem, is that now as Facebook was sold, or not sold, but Rupert Murdoch's sons took over Facebook, what you're seeing is Fox News, I'm sorry. Rupert Murdoch's sons have taken over Fox News, and they're not the principled contrarian conservative types that Rupert Murdoch was, and they want to be part of that in crowd in New York, and they've moved to the left. Hardcore to the left. In fact, there was even reports that they saw the wife of one of the Murdoch sons cheering or celebrating the fact that Trump lost. And so, you know, it's and that's going to cost Fox News. It already is. People are moving over to Newsmax in droves. So, you know, it's we'll see what happens. The thing that's making MeWe, I mean, MeWe's interface isn't as efficient as Facebook's. MeWe's functionality isn't as good as Facebook's. We all, you know, would agree on that. There's things I like about MeWe better, but the thing that's driving people to MeWe isn't its fantastic interface. It's the fact that they don't censor. They don't manipulate, and it's more private. It's the core of what their value proposition is. So if someone was to purchase MeWe, like if Facebook said, hey, MeWe's growing by leaps and bounds, we're going to buy it, which is certainly something that Facebook would be characteristic of Facebook. If they were to start manipulating the content, it wouldn't be useful. People, the value proposition of Facebook, or excuse me, of MeWe would be gone. And then I think it would lose its value. People would ditch it. So, you know, is MeWe an attractive takeover target? Don't know. What happens if MeWe starts to look? Facebook has 2 billion users every week, I think they say. MeWe, who I don't even know how many people use MeWe every week, but if it's, you know, 50 million, that's nowhere near 2 billion. So it's a fraction of the girth. It's a fraction of the critical mass of Facebook. If it ever did become a significant market share, would they be a takeover target? You know, who don't know. But for the time being, you know, it's my conclusion that I watched an article, saw a video from the MeWe founder. It was on the Wall Street Journal, on Fox News, and he was very clear. It wasn't just by accident that MeWe has been the place, the go-to place for a substitute for Facebook that doesn't censor. He understands that that's their value proposition, is that they're non-censorship. He's like, people don't want they don't want to be censored. They don't want their content censored. So I'm surprised more people haven't moved over to MeWe. For Wisconsin Carry to truly be effective, we need them to move over to MeWe. You know, Wisconsin Carry also has a Parler page, but Parler is more like Twitter. MeWe is more like Facebook in terms of the way that you use it. So, you know, it's just, but antitrust, I mean, I've said for months now, the last 6 months, that I think that Facebook should face antitrust action, because they've gotten to be such a monopolistic behavior. I think that, well, look, how do we, when I say people need to move over to MeWe, Kyle Rittenhouse, how do you advocate for Kyle Rittenhouse? You can't do that on Facebook. If you advocate for Kyle Rittenhouse on Fascist Book, you will be either banned or censored or put in Facebook jail. So the ability for Facebook to be a useful tool for freedom is gone. And I mean gone. So MeWe is the only place to, not the only place, but if people want to make a difference, if people want to have something that is useful from an activist standpoint, it's not going to be, not from a conservative activist standpoint, it's not going to be Facebook. It has to be an alternative platform, and I would suggest that it's probably going to be MeWe. I also joke that I think, and I'm not kidding here, when I say joke, I mean, I joke because I know it's never going to happen, but I think it should. RICO statutes are the statutes they used to use for organized crime, to combat organized crime. And I think they should look at RICO statutes when it comes to big tech, because the collusion between Facebook and Google and, I mean, these Twitter, it just, it's egregious. And the manipulation of the perception of reality, incredible, the power that these big tech organizations have. So strongly encourage people to please, if you haven't, you know, if anybody's listening to the show from having seen the link on Facebook, you know, please join MeWe. If you have any interest at all in being an activist in the right to carry movement, so that Wisconsin Carry can share information as it comes available, so we don't have to filter that information. If something interesting came up with Kyle Rittenhouse, even if I was still on Facebook, I couldn't post it. If something interesting came up with, I'm trying to think of some other things with Facebook. Well, Trump rallies. Facebook and Eventbrite were both deleting Trump rallies after the election. How do you organize a Trump rally without social media and get it big, get it spread? That's egregious censorship by Facebook. If you want to look, you want to have a Black Lives Matter rally, Facebook will allow it and probably promote it throughout their, you know, using their algorithm to make it get wider spread. Not only would they could have just shadow banned Trump events, but even with that, Trump events would have gotten so much spread on social media that they just delete them altogether. You want to have a pro-Trump event, not allowed on Facebook. Again, incredibly, incredibly biased. Incredibly biased. And so, truthfully, if people are interested in preserving freedom and in recovering some freedom lost here, it's not going to be on Fascist Book. You have to get yourself onto an alternative platform. So, okay, that said, the election, I mean, gosh, so many things to be frustrated about. There are some silver linings. I mean, the first thing I've said to people is, look, you know, you can't ride the emotional roller coaster. You just can't. Is Trump going to be able to remain in office? Is he not? I don't know. I mean, you don't want to sit there day in, day out, up and down that emotional roller coaster. What you can say is, look, there's people in higher places than me and you who are on this. There's people in very high places who are very into this. You're not alone. There's 72 million other people out there or more who voted for Donald Trump, and they're as pissed as you are that their vote was, that the election was what we believe stolen. And look, there was the Biz Times is a Milwaukee business publication. There's two publications in Milwaukee. There's the Milwaukee Business Journal, the most widely read business publication in Milwaukee. And then there's the Biz Times. It used to be called the Small Biz Times. Now it's just the Biz Times. So the Biz Times, they did a poll of their readership. And the question that they asked was, I'll get it exact here, but essentially it was a question about whether you think that the election was stolen from President Trump by vote fraud. And the response was overwhelmingly. The response was surprisingly high, especially even for their. Here's the question. Do you believe, from the Biz Times, do you believe the presidential election was stolen from President Donald Trump via voter fraud? 49.2% said yes, 50.8% said no. That's an incredibly high percentage of people that think. The people that read the Biz Times, you know, you're not talking about Joe Sixpack, you know, meth head, Northwestern Wisconsin meth lab in the National Forest cooking. I mean, these are small business owners, business people of all sizes in the Milwaukee metro area, in the you know, Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, Racine, probably Ozaukee County as well. But that's an incredibly high number of people. Those are educated folks. And I mean, not that people who don't read the Biz Times aren't educated, but very intelligent folks who believe that the election was stolen via voter fraud. And if the Republicans in Madison are going to sit there, because here's the thing, and I believe it was stolen by vote fraud. I mean, many, you know, millions of us do. But if now that the Democrats have figured out how to cheat, is there any way that we win another statewide or national election? When I say we conservatives, Look, you could, because you're going to pick up your state Senate seats. That's not a statewide race. Your state assembly seats, those districts are, you know, part of Waukesha County, Jefferson County, part of Walworth County, part of Dane. Well, that's going to be liberal, but part of, you know, you name your county, you name your areas, you'll be able to, conservatives can win in those areas. But will we ever get a governor? Because the whole state, any election that's going to include Milwaukee and Madison is going to be packed full of vote fraud. Do you think we'll ever win another election in a statewide election with the way that elections are run now? I don't. So, you know, these people that live in other parts of the state, these elected officials that are from other parts of the state that think they can just keep on going along to get along, you're never going to have a Republican governor because the influence of fraud from Milwaukee and Madison is going to overpower. What good is campaigning? What good is putting a sign in your yard? What good is advocating for your candidate around the water cooler? What good is doing doors? What good is donating to candidates if the Democrats are just going to create fraudulent votes to win and get away with it? So for that reason, I think the elected, even the squishy rhinos in Madison, are going to take this serious, are going to investigate the vote fraud. Whether or not Trump is able to serve his second term that he won, I don't know. You don't know. Again, that's an emotional roller coaster. It's just too much to be on a daily basis. But what we can advocate for, what we can push for, is election reform. We have to have it, or we're never going to get another statewide, which is our thing. The legislature, we could have, even if we got veto-proof majorities in the legislature, that won't matter because Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin are statewide races. So the Supreme Court will, I don't know how often those terms, they're 10-year terms, and I think especially with Hagedorn voting like a liberal or deciding cases like a liberal, I think it would only take another one or two elections and the state Supreme Court would be flipped to liberal. Because again, the liberals are going to win every statewide race. So even if we had supermajorities in the Senate, supermajorities in the Assembly to where we could override vetoes, we aren't going to, it won't matter because we passed legislation even without a governor's signature. They're going to take it to court. The liberals will take it to court, and the court, Supreme Court's going to be liberal, and they're going to side, and they're going to strike down. Look, Act 10 would have been stricken down if there had been a liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There was a conservative majority, so it wasn't struck down. But had there been a liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that would have been struck down. Now, it's true, some of those might have been able to be appealed to the federal courts, to the United States Supreme Court. I get involved in legal issues quite a bit with Wisconsin Carry, but I don't know which of those issues, when there's issues that, I don't know when there's issues that the ultimate arbiter, the last court of last resort is the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and which of those could be appealed. You have to bring some kind of federal angle into it in order to appeal something to the federal courts. And I think that those sometimes they are some state laws are challenged in state court and challenged in federal court. But so even the squishy Republicans in Madison need to take this seriously. Look, Ron Tussler is the chair of the elections committee. I know Ron. Ron is a personal injury attorney. When our daughter was hit by a truck back in 2014, Ron Tussler was the attorney who ended up representing my daughter's interests in the personal injury case. Unbeknownst to us, he was in the process of running a campaign for assembly while he was working on that case. It kind of made me wonder if he devoted as much time to the case as he should have, but it took a long time for that case to work its way through. But anyway, I'd consider Ron a pretty squishy Republican, honestly, from what I know about him. It's my observation that he and others worship the Marquette Law School poll like it's the Bible, which is shameful because that's a supposedly statewide poll and wouldn't necessarily represent the people in his, even in his district. So if you live in the area of the Fox Valley that Ron Tussler represents, if he's making his decisions based upon what the Marquette poll says, and that's what he perceives as to be the sentiment of the public, that is slanted because the people in his district up in the Fox Valley, that Marquette poll wasn't a poll of just people in his district. So he's letting his positions, his policy positions, be swayed by a Marquette poll. And here's how I know, because the minute the Marquette poll comes out, there's been days where Ron Tussler has posted something about it on his Facebook page. They worship it. They worship that Marquette poll, these Republicans from around the state. And that's a danger as well. But yeah, here's what I've been saying to people when people talk about, if you end up running into a liberal who scoffs at the notion that the election was stolen, you just look at them and you say, anyone with a brain knows that election was stolen. And if they start to protest, say, no, it wasn't. No, just look at them again and say, anyone with a brain knows that lawsuit was stolen. And when they complain, it just say, anyone with a brain knows that lawsuit. That's all I say to them. That's all I say, because, you know, that election was stolen. Hillary Clinton, before the election, she said on national media as to Joe Biden, whatever you do, don't concede the election on election night, no matter what the margin is. Why the hell would she say it? What if the Trump was winning every state and Hillary Clinton said, don't concede no matter what the margin? Why? Because she knew. She knew that they were going to manufacture votes, enough votes to win, or try to. Look, if there was more votes manufactured than it was even, I mean, and this actually happened. I mean, but let's say if Trump was getting 80% of the vote, yeah, the Democrats couldn't have stolen this election. It just, the numbers would have not made, the numbers don't make sense as it is, but they're, to the average idiot, when the news media refuses to talk at all about it. And that's the thing, every single report from the news media that talks about, the election or something Trump says about election fraud will say, there's no evidence of it. Today, President Trump made additional claims, despite the fact that there's no evidence of it, President Trump made claims of voter fraud. Today, President Trump made claims of voter fraud, even though there's no, without evidence. Today, President Trump talked about voter fraud, even though there's no evidence of that. I mean, that's what every single story in the news media is prefaced by, that kind of commentary. And the thing is, there is evidence of vote fraud. There's evidence all over the place of vote fraud. There is so much evidence of vote. Here's the thing. Now, if they wanted to say there's no proof of vote fraud, okay, that's subjective. Think about a court case. In a court case, you both sides introduce evidence, and then the jury decides what evidence they're going to believe. But there's all kinds of things that are evidence. The affidavits that people have submitted saying that they observed vote fraud or they observed questionable things, that is evidence. It's not proof necessarily, but it is evidence. So for every news program to say, despite no evidence, your flycast says COVID-19 was cover up to usher in mail-in ballots. What we have here is a combination of election and voter fraud. Yeah, here, let me play a clip for you. I played this on the show back in March. No, maybe it was February. No, I think it was March. This is Rahm Emanuel, and this is from March. Rahm Emanuel from March. Let me find it here. Here it is. Now I got to grab my headset. Okay, this is Rahm Emanuel back in. I have two clips here. One's a minute and seven. One is 17 seconds. This was when Rahm Emanuel was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos back in, I think it was early March. It was before the lockdowns, might have been late February, before the lockdowns, before any of the stuff, when when coronavirus was not yet had not yet taken over our national economy. Listen to this. This is Rahm Emanuel back. Rahm Emanuel, former chief of staff for President Obama, then mayor of Chicago. And this is this earlier this year on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Dr. Jen Ashton made the point as well, Rahm. Sometimes when people hear don't panic from a government leader, they panic.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Every crisis, overwhelming force on the front end. By the time you do it, if you wait 3 weeks, you've lost the initiative. This administration right now looks like they couldn't organize a one-car parade. And I think here's what's going to be devastating for Donald Trump. Beyond the fact that this requires science, management, data, and being transparent, which are all his weaknesses, you're going to have a point within about 2 months where you cannot have big events together. If you look at presidential history, Franklin Roosevelt used to drive out in the country to get out. President Bush, 41, was on a speedboat. That Bush and Ronald Reagan would cut, obviously go to their ranches. He is not going to be able to have his rallies. And it is going to psychologically, the office is isolating enough, and his inability to get the admiration, the adulation from that crowd is going to psychologically torment him. And his isolation is going to get more intense, and his tweets are going to get more vicious.
He has been willing to give up on the rallies yet, but we're already seeing on the Democratic side, they're canceling events.
Yeah.
So that was Rahm Emanuel, again, before predicting what was going to happen with this. You know why the Democrats can predict so many things? Because they know with the news media, they're going to be able to make them happen. They can make their own realities come true. Here's another clip from Rahm Emanuel on that same show that same day back in early March, late February.
Two things when you were going to, in about 5 months, 4 months, this virus is going to affect both President Trump and Chairman Xi and their authority and their ability and capacity to govern. And that will be the conclusion that it took a virus to actually unend.
Those go together. Meantime, we also learned a lesson.
So that was before any of this stuff played out, before any lockdowns, before any of it. That's Rahm Emanuel suggesting that this virus is, that is anybody who thinks that this virus, and you, people scoff at it, is the virus a real thing? Yeah. Has it been politically manipulated? 100%. But that's the thing. I mean, anybody who doesn't see what happened here, and that's the one comforting thing is that they do. That's the one comforting thing is that people get it. You know, the 72 million people that vote for Trump, they're pissed. You know, and I haven't seen the kind of attention, the kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Motive. Everybody's been motivated for Trump, but I think the Democrats outkicked their coverage on this one. I think they pushed so hard, cheated so hard, that they've pissed people off to the point that it's going to come back to bite them. They've got 72 million pissed off Americans. They want to perhaps were able to steal an election, but they didn't steal the hearts and minds of the people of this country. And ultimately, you're going to need those hearts and minds if you want to get a mandate, do what you want to do. They don't have it. They know they had to cheat to win. That's got to be scary as hell for those liberals. They know they cheated. They know they did. They know the precarious position that they're in, even with the mainstream media, accomplice media running cover for them, even with the accomplice media suppressing, squashing, suffocating any story about vote fraud, any story about election fraud, even with all that, that's what they have to worry about is that this stuff is going to get out. It's going to get out through Newsmax TV. It's going to get out through Parler. It's going to get out through MeWe. And they can't contain that. So, man, in some ways, I mean, I've never been so pessimistic on the future of the country because elections are, this would be the biggest story in the history of our country. The reason being because in a Democrat Republic, free and fair elections. That's what our country is based upon. So this would be the biggest, this is the biggest scandal. And if they're able to get that information out to the public, it's going to be the biggest scandal in the history of our country. The scary part is how difficult that's going to be without, but at some point the mainstream media is going to have to report this. They can't squash it forever. And again, without having the true numbers on their side, they're the ones that should be worried. They're the ones that should be concerned. They're the ones that have lost the majority support in this country. I got a couple more topics here I was going to do. I'll save those. First time back, my voice is a little dry now. Plus, we'll see. I don't even know how many people we we got in here tonight. I know we at least had four. We had four people listening to the show. We had Lon, my friend Kevin, my friend Brent, and then Flycatch. Who I remember Flycatch. I don't remember your real name, but I remember you from prior broadcasts in the Wisconsin, or excuse me, in the Facebook era for me. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and no calls tonight. That's okay. Flycatch says mainstream media is nothing more than a propaganda machine. The mainstream media, I mean, the level of propaganda, that's what's shocking me, is the level of propaganda here. I mean, the things that are happening right now, Joseph Goebbels, people like to joke and make comments about comparisons to Nazi Germany, the stuff that Facebook's doing, the stuff the mainstream media is doing, the level of propaganda, the level of manipulation of information. I mean, Joseph Goebbels would be jealous. He would be jealous. And that's the other thing with looking at coronavirus, you see how people are buying into the lies and the just hook, line, and sinker. You're able to see how Hitler pulled it off. I had a seventh grade teacher who used to talk to us about we had a unit on Nazi Germany and social studies, and he would talk about the big lie and propaganda, and people he's like, you know, if you don't believe that propaganda works, then he would tell a story, and he would told a sad story about him and his brother, and anyway, makes up, he would get girls in the room crying because the story was so sad. And then after it was all over, and I forget how he used it, and then he would use it to motivate people for something. And then after it was over, he said, hey, just so you know, that whole story was completely made up. My brother's alive. He lives in such and such. But he explained how using people's emotions, you're able to get people to do what you want them to do. And he was able to prove that point to our class by making that emotional appeal. Well, what we've seen here with coronavirus is you scare people and you can get them to do anything they want. So anyway, that's the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back at it next week. Thanks so much. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio. And I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.